This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and it's raining. Can you hear it? It's been raining a lot. And it's interesting because I have been around people who have been complaining about the rain. And my response is, rain is good. Water is good. Water is life. I would much rather be someplace that is raining than someplace that is dry, bone dry, with cracked earth and all that sort of thing. So given my druthers, the rain is just fine. The only time I am not fond of rain is when it's like paper bag day, and my whole costume is this giant collage of paper bags. I'm not so hip on the rain at that point. But aside from that, I like the rain. The rain is good. The rain is good. All is well. Had a good week at work, got a lot of things done, made some progress, decided a few things, got other things started. We're moving along. Writing is fine. Writing is going good. I'll be swinging back over to book 14 to do the finer version. I do have some edits to do on book 14. I got a little detailed oriented in the last couple of chapters of that book, and I've had a couple of people now tell me there's too much detail, and in fact three people of the there's too much detail. Okay, sorry. So I'll get that resolved, which will be fine. So go back, probably cut down a chapter or two out of there, and just go ping, and we're done. So well, we'll figure it out. I had a purpose for the detail, but obviously that purpose was not appreciated, so that's fine. I'll get that cut down and we'll be just fine. Book 15 seems to be going fine. I'll get some polishing done. Once I get the production version of book 14 out, I'll swing back around and do a little polishing. It's interesting because I'm writing fast enough that sometimes as I'm writing, I'm thinking, okay, that could be better, that could be better, that could be better. But you know what? I don't have any time, so we're just moving forward. But, you know, so it'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be fine. So anyways, costume stuff is fine. This week is Memorial Day. Of course, we'll be celebrating Memorial Day. So I don't want to be too flamboyant on Memorial Day, since we are celebrating people who gave their lives. But by the same token, it's worth celebrating. One of the things about Memorial Day that I just will never, ever be able to get away from is the fact that there was the American Cemetery in the Philippines, in Manila. I'm not sure where it was because I was young there and my parents just drove me. But it was, oh, hello. It was a beautiful, beautiful cemetery. I mean, wow. They did a spectacular job on this cemetery. As I recall, it was all set up in these giant concentric circles, and in the center there was these huge slabs of marble, or covered with marble, where everybody's name was written. And you could stand there and you could look out, and all the crosses were set up to where, as you were driving, there were multiple ways that all the crosses would align. So I don't know who planned that out, but man, they planned it out, and it's just unbelievably exact. As I recall being a little kid, because you could just be driving by them and suddenly all those crosses would line up and line up and line up and line up as you were going. Even though they were all on concentric circles, there would be other like diagonal lines that would be had been put through there because they had calculated that all out. And we would actually take people who came over. That was
one of the places we would take them to see that cemetery, because it was just such a gorgeous, gorgeous cemetery. And I will never, ever forget all of the crosses that were there in that cemetery, representing all the young men who had died in the liberation of the Philippines, and then also who had been captured. There's the whole story of the Bataan Death March, when the Japanese came in and a bunch of soldiers had gotten captured and they were forced to march, and many died along the way. So it's Memorial Day, you know, and we're remembering those who gave their lives. And so, of course, I don't want to do too much too flamboyant, because, you know, that's a fairly serious thing. But I do have, you know, a patriotic shirt. And at the house, I supposedly have some patriotic jogging pants that have just come in that I'm adding. And, you know, it'll be fine. I am working on a new costume. I talked about King Kamehameha Day, so I think I have all my material in now. Or if not in, will be in very, very soon. It's basically just a draping cape, so I don't think it's going to be that complicated to do, but we're going to give it a try. Just give it a shot and see what happens. But it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll work it out as we go. So that's all good. And the family's good. All is well. We got a new little dog. I don't know if I've mentioned that. The little dog kind of showed up at our place. And captured my beloved's heart. And so she, you know, the dog has a lot to commend it. Very small little dog. Just fell in love with Ned. Dog is not too happy with me yet, but we're working on that. We're working on that. Trying to give him lots of treats. Her, lots of treats. She is going in to be neutered here in just a little bit. So we'll see how that goes, and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's all fine. The little dog's name is Belle. So Ned has named her Belle and tried to find owner, didn't have a collar. You know, we went through all that stuff. So anyways, so that's all good. I did put together some notes for this, and I'm not going to do this article justice because the article is huge. But in the category of, if you think you're having a bad day.
Oh, man.
This company. This article is called "The Full Story of the Stunning RSA Hack Can Finally Be Told." And I'm really not going to do this justice, okay? But I'm just looking at this from the perspective of, you know, no matter how bad things are, it could be worse, because it could be like this. So the RSA, they were a company that had put out security stuff, and for cybersecurity, one of the things they had was what they called the seed warehouse. They had these special numbers that were in their seed warehouse that allowed them to create special keys, and one of their big products they had was called Secure ID, which was a little fob you carried around in your pocket, and it just, you know, made these numbers or received these numbers that when you were doing secure sign-ons to things, you would have to put in this number as well. And of course, if you didn't have one of these fobs, even if you knew somebody's username and password, you couldn't get in because you didn't have. So, I mean, this was one of their big products. And all of the generation of those numbers was based on these seeds. Well, at RSA, they started noticing that there was a particular user that had signed into some place that they normally weren't in, and they were like, that's weird. And so then they started backtracing and looking and looking and looking, and eventually realized they had been hacked. They go into the article about how it was actually done, but suffice it to say, they had been hacked and had eventually worked their way all the way down onto their most secure server where they had these particular tokens. And theoretically, a server like that should have been air-gapped, and there should not have been a way to get it to it from the outside. But, like, one of their features was that outside companies could actually generate their new tokens for apps and that sort of thing. And so then it had to have one connection. And that was the connection that the hackers had gotten into. And they tell the story of going through and realizing finally what's happening. This guy's realizing what's happening, and he notices that down in this virus, they isolate out and realize that it's piping information all the way out to some server where it's dumping all this information into this big compressed file. And so the guy takes these credentials and navigates out to this server that's out on Rackspace somewhere, and he comes in and he sees the file sitting there that all this information has been saved into. And he's thinking, okay, well, if I can get that file deleted, maybe they wouldn't have, you know, gotten our stuff. And so he goes and he issues the delete command for it, and it comes back and says file not found. And then he does a directory search and realizes that the hackers have, like, downloaded this file and cleaned up their tracks just as he was trying to get to it. And it's like, oh, man. Oh, man, that's a bad day. And the problem is that as soon as they realized what had happened, and as soon as they realized that they had been hacked as a security company, I'm getting the mail, as a security company, they had been hacked. Some of the guys just said, okay, well, that's it. It's done. This company is done. And other people in the company were trying to say, no, this is recoverable, and we can, and they were like, no, we are done. And in fact, at one point, in order to limit the damage more, like, one of their guys just started going through and unplugging Ethernet cables from everything, just to stop whatever more hemorrhaging there might be. That's a bad day when you're doing that, because when you're just yanking cables out of boxes, you're done. And some people think that, in fact, the hack of RSA then led to a subsequent hack of Lockheed, that there was Lockheed had gotten hacked, and now that they're farther down the road, they think, well, maybe not, they don't know. But I mean, this whole thing just, it illustrates that stuff is, there's just all kinds of things going on in the world, and just make sure that you're not putting your faith and trust in technology, and you're not putting it, because, it's just, it can all just start disintegrating around us. And if I thought of anything as I was, watching all this. Oh, here it is. The analyst eventually traced the origin of the breach to a single malicious file that they believe had landed on an RSA employee's PC 5 days before they started their hunt. A staffer in Australia had received an email with the subject line 2011 recruitment plan and an Excel spreadsheet attached to it. He opened it. Inside the file was a script that exploited a zero-day vulnerability, a secret unpatched security flaw in Adobe Flash, planting a common piece of malicious software called Poison Ivy on the victim's machine. That initial point of entry onto the RSA network would later... point of entry onto RSA's network, F-Secure, Haravalan would later point out that in his own analysis wasn't particularly sophisticated. A hacker wouldn't have even been able to exploit the flash vulnerability if the victim had been running a more recent version of Windows or Microsoft Office, or if he had limited access to install programs on his PC, as most security administrators for corporate and government networks recommended. So, but, you know, they were running outdated Windows software, they didn't have it locked down to where he couldn't do it, and then it just, like, got away, and it eventually, you know. And they said this one entry point into that server, they said now instead of the usual once every 15-minute connections, Lethem saw that logs of thousands of continuous requests for data every second. What's more, the hackers had been collecting those seeds on not one but three compromised servers, relaying requests through one connected machine. I mean, it's just like, oh man, that's a bad day. That's just a bad day. So, you know, I haven't, as a technologist, I haven't really been involved in anything that bad. I mean, there's a few things that have gone wrong, but nothing that bad. So thank God for that. And thank God that I am never going to be involved in anything that has that many ramifications. I mean, we were talking today about the amazing people that we work with. The IT, in IT, we were doing a knowledge transfer session. We were talking about the amazing people that work in AGWM, where I'm a client for. This is one of my clients, and my sole client at this point, because I've cut down all my hours. And all the stuff that's going on around the world. And we were talking about the end of month process that actually gets money to out all those people, and what a big deal that was. That guy's got to work right. The money has to go out, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Thankfully, in recent years, we've shored up the programmer who's worked with it for years and years did a completely new version of it. That seems to be working much better, much fewer problems, et cetera, et cetera. But, I mean, it's, you know, we don't think about it too much because it works from month to month and seems to be fine. But it's, even at that level, it's very, very interesting because there's a whole lot of stuff that could go bad, but God's been kind and he's been good to us and he's been helping us. And I'm just grateful for that every day. The other thing that happened this week that I just thought was interesting, because I would have agreed a couple of years ago, our pastor was talking, and he was talking about how one way to think about age, some people said, is like a speed limit. So the older you get, the higher your speed limit and the faster you're going. And it feels like life is just flashing before your eyes and all that sort of thing. And, you know, it's interesting because in the last few years with the costumes and with the writing and with the fasting and all that kind of stuff, I don't feel like life is going fast anymore. I mean, life is the pace that it is for me now. And when I go in on Monday morning, now is time to work. And so, and then I come home, and now it's time to write. And then I go in on Tuesday, now it's time to work. And then Tuesday night, now it's time to eat. Whoop, whoop. You know, and then I go in Wednesday, now it's time to work. And then it's time to do, you know, finances and time to write. And then back in, time to work this morning. And now it's time to eat again. Yay! We love the eating. So it's all very interesting. But I really can't say that life seems to be speeding by anymore. It is proceeding at the pace that it's proceeding. And I remember all the days of this week and all the things that we did. And they were all good. And today was good. And we were able to accomplish things today. And tomorrow will be good. Get to put on a costume, go talk to my friends, have breakfast with some friends. It'll be good. And then I'll do some writing over the weekend. And then on Memorial Day, I'll work on a costume. And then I'll be back to work. And it's all good. It's all good. I had a friend ask me this morning while we were walking. And we were talking about the goodness and kindness of God. And we were talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he asked me, he said, do you ever lose it? Meaning, do I ever get angry that I just explode? And I said, no, not really, because God is good. And where we are heading is good. And in light of the wonder of eternity that we shall experience, why would we need to get angry? Why would we need to get frustrated? Why would we need to be afraid? Because we are loved and all is well. And I would hope that even if I was involved in something as terrible as the RSA hack, I would hope that if that happened, I would still maintain my joy in him, and I would simply move forward, step at a time, do what I could, and everything would be fine, because every day's a good day with him. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.